This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a strange summer. It's a strange world, but, you know, we're still alive, and that's important.
Yeah, I know how you always like Saturdays, because you can go out and do the things that you need to do, see the people you need to see, run the errands you need to run, do all those normal Saturday things, and people aren't able to do them like they used to. But, you know, have you gotten into a new Saturday routine? Have you found a new...
The new routine is staying home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like it, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well...
I'm going to break out as soon as the all clear.
Maybe a while before you get the all clear, so hunker down.
It may be, but it's very limited, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But I do go for a drive. I mean, you know, you can still go for a drive, pretend like you've got some really important things to do.
You know? Pretend.
Yes, and if I need something... I do the curbside pickup. I don't go in stores. I don't enjoy all that anymore. I just go and say, here's my order number. Hand me the package.
You know, I used to think that, wow, this is really awkward and weird. I'm not sure. I like to go in places. But to be honest, I'm kind of getting used to the curbside pickup. I kind of like it.
Well, it is nice because you don't have to go look for anything. They go look for the items, put them in the box or the sack, and hand them to you.
Yeah, it's very convenient and very fast.
It is convenient. And we know it's sanitary. We know we're not going to, you know, be exposed to a lot of things because it's just one person with a mask handing you something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess we're all going to get used to this new world.
Yeah. It may be how we do it going forward. They may not ever open buildings again. There may be, you know, I know at first, you know, it's been this kind of approach as though, well, you know, we'll do this curbside pickup. I'm willing to bet that probably since this may be the new way of going forward, they may start coming up with, you know, new permanent alternatives, like maybe, you know, specific vehicle lanes, maybe like coverings, maybe like speakers, where kind of like when you go through the drive through at the restaurant, maybe the same thing for like retail and things like that. And so I don't know. They may start building different pieces of equipment and processes to get this done.
Retail will not be near as big. You won't need the big box stores ever again, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because everybody's ordering online. Nobody's hardly going in because they don't allow but a certain number of people in the store anyway. And as I said the other day, like Neiman's, you have to have a reservation. Well, if you need a reservation, who's going?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and I don't think anybody will go. I mean, that's just too crazy for me. And, of course, now Lord & Taylor's filed bankruptcy.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, Lord & Taylor. And I always thought they were great. You know, they came to Texas and were here for a while, 4 or 5 years, and they left. They just they weren't doing the business they thought they could do here. And they had quality products. I really liked them. But they had two locations in Dallas at big malls, and they just left and never came back. You know, Lord & Taylor's a Chicago company. And now they've filed for bankruptcy. So it looks like, you know, Joseph Banks, I mean, all these big retailers, you know, have filed for bankruptcy.
Joseph A. Bank?
But was it? No, don't. It wasn't Joseph A. Banks. It's Brooks.
Gotcha. Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, Brooks Brothers, yeah. And the companies that are involved with them. So in the last 2 weeks, you know, it was Ann Taylor and that group had filed bankruptcy. So there's just so many that I don't think you'll ever see retail like it was.
Wow. I didn't know Brooks Brothers filed either. Wow. When did that?
Yes,
was that
have.
Like this week? Or was it last week?
No, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago that they filed.
Oh, Lord, look at me. I'm that far behind. Well, that's not good.
No. So I think, like you say, with curbside pickup and with online, everybody's ordering online. Amazon said they don't even have enough employees to fill all the online orders because people are ordering so much online.
Yeah.
And people that are home, they're bored, and they're saying, what else do I need this week? What else do I need? What can I order?
Well, you know, there's a whole thing with it. You know, it's like Amazon exploded in the last several years because, you know, there's that adrenaline rush, knowing that you've got a package coming, you know, and so it's almost like, you know, the anticipation of Christmas. But then you get the package, and that, you know, you open it, and it goes away. So you got to order again. And it keeps you engage in, you know, something to look forward to, you know, even if it's just a brown box at the door.
Well, that's right. And we have something coming, seems like, almost every day. You know, we've ordered school supplies. And that Target just brings, I mean, we found out that Target was less than Walmart for school supplies.
Really?
Wouldn't have believed it, but they were. And Target delivers very quickly. You usually have everything within 2 days.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Target's very fast. So, you know, you're going to get them right away. And then you can check everything, make sure you've got everything for school. Because that's another new deal, you know, whether you're going online or whether you're going in person.
Mm.
So it's a whole new life out there, something we have never experienced.
School's in what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. I believe it's August 19th is the ones I know about. And then for online school, I don't know what day that starts. I don't know if it starts the same day or if it's later.
Hmm.
But the Louisville schools, which is a big school district, it's going to be all online. Hmm. And I guess the teachers didn't want the responsibility of getting sick. And it was too many kids too close. They couldn't get them far enough apart, I guess, to even try it.
You know, it seems like the whole world is kind of starting to take shape with this new way of doing things, you know, with school being, you know, a lot of it being done online. I know a lot of businesses are conducting business online. The ones that you can. I mean, if there's places like a restaurant or something, you have to go to it. Well, obviously you have to. But, you know, I know that we were talking, you know, in the past about, you know, you've got some attorney friends who have been working from home nonstop. I wonder if any businesses that are like computer-based or online-based or any place that can allow their employees to work from home like they may have been doing. It may be just like a temporary thing right now, but I'm wondering if maybe they're going to start like having these home office kits, you know, something, and I'm just kind of making this up as we go, but, you know, they'll have like your computer that'll have like, you know, various supplies you might need, office supplies or whatever the case is. And they'll start sending these out. And this is like, okay, here's your workstation. It'll come in the mail. You set this up in your place. And so I wonder if, you know, there's going to be things like that. I wonder how productivity is going up because people aren't commuting, so they're not wasting time with that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but places like Office Depot, do you realize that you cannot do anything over the phone anymore? I needed help with an iPad the other day. I wanted to be sure I got the right iPad for one of the little children. Everybody else has got one. And so I call up there, and anymore there's not the salespeople to help you. You know, used to you could call, they'd walk you through it. They had a salesperson that knew the product and would help you. You can't do that. If you can't order it online, you're not going to get it.
See, that's so weird. Gotta,
yeah, it is. And they don't carry Apple. And finally got someone on the phone. And they explained to me that you cannot pay for anything on the phone anymore. You've got to go online and do this. And then you have to make an appointment to come in. If you really need to see somebody about an iPad, it's ridiculous. They don't need salespeople because they're not helping you anyway.
Yeah, they're not really actually selling. It's like they're just,
no.
They've turned into order takers. You know, you come to us.
Yes, and if you can't do it online, you're not going to get it because you can't call up and get help anymore.
Yeah.
It's a crazy deal.
Yeah, wow. You know, that, man, that makes me think, you know, my goodness, you know, like you said, maybe salespeople, depending on what the business is, but maybe sales jobs are going to start to go down because, you know, a job of a salesperson is when somebody walks in, you know, like you go to the furniture store, the guy walks around, or you go to a car dealership or, you know, something like a Target or something like that. You know, you go into these stores and they're like, you know, can I help you? And then they show you something. But if nobody's going in, they don't have to sell anything. So their whole thing is not, you know, they're not like initiating the sale. They're just waiting for people to stroll online or on the phone or whatever it is. They're not really selling.
I think they're doing mostly all online, and I think it's going to be the future. Everybody's just going to do it online and keep going. Even Party City. Yeah, you know, we do a lot of business at Party City, and you know, you've got to just go online. And it says when you're ordering, those are not available day for pickup. You've got to order it online, have it shipped to your house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not even available in the store. You have to do it online and let the warehouse ship it to you.
Wow. I wonder if the, you know, like places like Party City are like selling out with their local merchandise, and then when that's gone, it's just like, okay, well, you know, the store is now empty or almost empty, and they'll send whatever's left back to the warehouse, and then everything has to come from the warehouse and be shipped.
I wonder about it because, you know, Party City does so much business with, you know, families. I guess they'll just be ordering online.
Wow. You know, there's so many things you don't even think about. You know, we talk about them and how things are changing, but, man, you start to drill down and it really starts to affect areas that you didn't even think it would.
That's right, and I think the world's going to change. It has already changed an awful lot, as you realize.
Yeah, maybe they'll start making people nicer.
Now you want some pills. Some nice pills.
See, I just took it too far. I just couldn't let it go.
I just couldn't let that go.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
So we've covered retail and new processes. So what's going on what are the other high points that we need to get into this week as far as money and finances and things like that?
Well, you know, when we talk about money, we need to talk about what we have now, what we expect in the future, and what we're going to have for retirement. You know, it's really three places: where you're at today and where you're going to be tomorrow, and then, you know, for your retirement, how are you going to handle this? You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have a lawyer friend this week that said everybody's changing their wills. Everybody's bringing their wills up to date, their powers of attorney up to date. Some of them are doing trust right now. They're doing LLCs. They're worried because of the pandemic. They're saying, you know, Mabel, our will hadn't been changed in 10 years. So, you know, you don't want an old will laying around. And that's when we say that, let's talk about the money, too. How much money do you have? Do you have enough for retirement just like it is? Or do you need to make more money? Or are you going to retire this week? Or is it going to be 5 years from now? So it's the same thing as your wills and all this, getting your estate ready. And in order to get your estate ready, you've got to say, okay, this is how much money we're going to need every year during retirement. It may be $100,000. It may be $150,000. If you had to retire today, if you were sick, let's say, and retired today, do you have enough money to go 20 years? You know, people don't realize when you retire, you're going to retire as long as you were working. You know, it's going to be at least 20 years or 25 years that you're going to be here in retirement. So you need to sit down with your calculator and say, okay, I need $100,000 a year, and I'm going to retire, and I'm probably going to be here another 20. Sit there and add that up.
You know,
do you have that much money?
That is a huge reality check. You know, when you say, man, you got to have enough retirement for 20 or 25 years, you don't think that, oh, man, it's going to be almost the entire time that you worked is now what you have to have ready to go for retirement. Man, that's
exactly right.
Wow.
And depending on how good or how bad you've done in the stock market, we expect you have made some money. And if it doesn't go back down in the next year and you had to retire, that's what you've got. Whatever you've got right there. Is that enough? If it's not, what about doing a strategy a little bit different? You've tried the stock market. You've made some money, but you've went with ups and downs all these years, the fear of losing part of it, and part of it you have, and some of it's come back. So what if you said, okay, I need something that's a little more clear and defined. I want something that I know what I'm going to make and that I can keep doing this after I retire. And it doesn't matter what happens. If my mind gets bad or anything else, the money will still come in. So if you think about what you want to invest in the next 20 or 25 years, do you want it still be in the stock market as you get older? Or do you want to do something where you know absolutely how much you're going to make?
That would be ideal.
So if you're thinking along those lines and you don't have enough right now today for 20 or 25 years, how much more do you need to make? I mean, do you need to make $50,000 a year, $100,000? I mean, you need to look at and be realistic and say, okay, I don't have enough to retire today, and I don't have enough for 25 years. How am I going to get it? Well, you sit down and you say, okay, I need to make this much interest every year, you know, for the next 5 years or 10 where I can retire and where I'll have enough for 20 or 25 years. You can't be short-sighted and say, okay, I've got $250,000. Mm. We're going to retire with that.
Ooh.
What in the heck are you going to do with $300,000?
Yeah, you'll be done with that in no time.
It won't last. That's not even enough to get started. So you have to be realistic about this and say, okay, I need to put this much money into an investment, and this is how much interest I need to get every year in order to give me enough to retire. In other words, once you retire, you've got to have interest coming in enough to live on.
So,
and so if you're not farsighted and you're too short-sighted on this, you won't have it.
When you put it this way, and you break down these 3 points, like people have to have enough for today, tomorrow, and retirement, the retirement part, I know people can get started and they can take care of that right now. They can go ahead and, if they're on a bad trajectory, they can go ahead and make those changes and be ready. But where do you think people are, like, with the today and tomorrow? When you talk to people, are they in that place where it's just like, man, you know, I had this and now I've lost this in the stock market or whatever the case is, and so I don't even know if I can get through today? Are they in that position, or are they already set up? Because when you say, you know, gosh, you got to have 25 years of retirement saved up, people think, oh my God, that's a long time. I'm nowhere near that. So where are people, you know, in the today stage as opposed to, you know, looking down the road long term?
Okay. Lots of times people just get kind of lethargic, you know, they're not paying attention. And you need to be, you know, really paying attention in this day and age as to how much you've got right now and how much you're making on that money. See, people, as I said, they get lethargic. Oh, well, I've got this 401k. But are you paying attention to the 401k? People that come to me, it takes them a year, sometimes two, and they finally call and say, "Hey, I've been listening to you for years. Now I've decided to put my money over there." And so then they do. But then they've wasted a lot of time mm-hmm. that they could have already been investing and making more money. So you have to get out of this lethargicness and say, this is what I need to do for my wife and myself toward retirement. We haven't retired yet, and we want to have enough to retire, and we need interest coming in. So you can say, okay, we'll just stay with the stock market. Well, people stayed with it in 2008, didn't they?
Mm.
And they all came up short. So now, if a person is really smart, they're going to say, okay, I might not want to give all of it over here to Fay right now, but, you know, I might want to put a couple of hundred thousand over there and see how it works. And if it works right, then I'll put the other over there. In other words, try something different than what you've been doing. You've just been kind of lazy and just staying with the stock market because it was easy, you know, instead of saying, you know, there's other things I could be doing.
Well, you know, and that's almost like the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And so if people have been in the stock market, a lot of people are not finding things are going very well right now. So they're looking for other things. So, you know, when you say like, you know, hey, let's take it to Faye and let's take it over there. When you say over there, this is a different investment opportunity than the stock market. It has nothing to do with Wall Street at all. You're referring to life settlements, right?
That's right. It's completely different. A life settlement is where we buy for our clients, we buy life insurance policies on people that have stage 4 cancer. And we buy them at a discount, and then when it matures, the client gets the face amount of the policy. And a life insurance policy, I'd a lot rather be invested in a life insurance policy than invested in stocks, because look at all the oil company stocks right now. They're taking a big beating. They're taking a loss. A lot of other companies on Wall Street are taking a loss. And yet the stock market shows it's up. But I talked to two people this last week, and one of them told me, he said, I've had so many losses in the stock market. So sometimes in New York City, those people are making a lot more than the people out here in the homeland, okay? Yeah. In other words, we're not getting the same benefits. The stocks they're putting people in are not making a giant return. If they were, I'd be hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be a big commotion. But instead,
there'd be
people
a big commotion out here. They'd say, oh, my gosh, I've made so much money I can't carry it home.
I can't carry it home.
You know? Yeah. But that just isn't the way it's working. And so when people tell me these stories, I say, well, okay, how much have you lost or how much have you made? And they tell me their stories. And even though, as I said, in New York they're making a lot of money, sometimes out here the stocks the local people are in are not making them a fortune. Mm. If they were, I'd hear about it, and you would too. We'd all be hearing about it. So I always say to people, okay, you can be conservative or you can be like you are now. You can go either way. But if you want to be conservative and make a good income and good interest, this is a good opportunity because it's completely different. A life insurance policy doesn't go up and it doesn't go down. It stays just the same. Whatever we put you in for is what you're going to get back plus your interest. If it's a 24-month policy, you're going to make 24% plus your principal. So you're going to get your principal back. Let's say you invested $100,000 in a $1 million policy. You're going to get that $100,000 back plus $24,000 in interest.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty solid. And when you say that they'll get that back, if the stock market crashes tomorrow or Monday, it's not going to affect it. They're still going to get the same thing. It has absolutely no bearing on anything. Stock market, world events, pandemics, nothing affects these things. They hold their value. That's I would think, one of the biggest assets of a life settlement is that it holds its value.
Well, and think about this. All these companies that have went bankrupt in the last 30 days, those are all public companies. Mm. Do you realize that?
Wow.
So all those stocks, have been suspended.
Man.
So if you were investing in all these companies that have just went under, and everybody would have thought, why, heck, Penny's several years ago, Neiman's, Lord & Taylor, Ann Taylor, well, these were respected companies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now they're in bankruptcy. So how's that going to make you money? If you've looked at your portfolio, do you have any of those stocks?
Mm.
You know? Do you have all these oil company stocks that are teetering right now?
Man, you put it like that. That's right. A big reality check.
And then Chesapeake is in bankruptcy. You know, and all these are public companies. Most of them are public. So if they put you in these, those stocks are not going to make you one dime.
So it sounds like they're taking away
from
this.
You're going to have a lot of losses.
Yeah.
So people that rely on just their broker, and that's okay if that's the way they want to go, but you need to look yourself and say, what stocks am I in? What mutual funds am I in? And look at your fees on those mutual funds because we know how high they are. And when you're paying that kind of fees on mutual funds, is a mutual fund going to make any money this year with all if it's got those companies in it?
Is it fair to say that, and I know nobody ever should have ever said that there are safe stocks, but, you know, considering all these companies that have been around for 100, 125, 150 years are now suddenly in bankruptcy and their stock value is you know, gone, you know, straight through through the toilet. So you think to yourself, man, there are no safe no safe stocks anymore. There are no no conservative ways to invest
on
Wall Street.
There's no places to hide. All these companies, and people aren't even thinking about that. Well, look at your own portfolio as you see these dominoes falling and these people declaring bankruptcy. Do you have any of those? If you've got heavy in any of those, which you would have thought they were good companies because they've been around a long time, but now they're going down the tube, if you've got those stocks are worthless. Yeah. The ones that have declared bankruptcy, if you've got their stock, it's worthless now.
Should people panic, or have they got time to make some adjustments?
I'd make a lot of adjustments. If you've got Pier 1, you know, Pier 1 was a great stock. They're liquidating it. Yeah. So, you know, all these companies are being liquidated. You need to think about that. We're not liquidating anything in life insurance companies. They're solid. And life insurance companies are making money while all this is going on. And it doesn't even matter if the life insurance companies didn't make a dime. You know, they've got the reserves to pay the claims. That's what we care about. But life insurance companies are different than retail stores. You know, they don't have a million dresses they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Or a million pairs of pants.
Overhead is low.
Yeah. That's right. And people not coming to the store because of a pandemic. Mm. And it doesn't matter about this crisis we're having. With our business, you know, it's running smooth. It's running right along because people are investing in life insurance policies. They're not investing in retail. They're not investing in oil stocks or anything that can go up and down. So and that's the important part.
Just trying to poke holes in here and play devil's advocate for a second. What if somebody says to you, "Well, Faye, but look at all these people that can't afford their life insurance, and so they're canceling their policies. What about those?"
That's a good thing for the life company. If they cancel those policies, they don't have to pay off. They just made another whammy. That's just it. So, they just made another deal. That's a good deal.
Even if something bad happens, it's something good for investors.
Something good happens for somebody. But in our business, it's a steady business. Through this whole thing, our people, we're still investing. We're still buying policies. We're still getting payouts. And it's a conservative investment. You're not going to have a maturity every day or every month. But, of course, this year we've had $9 million already, and I think we'll have – I'm predicting we'll have $10 million more maturities before the end of the year.
So you're predicting at least doubling what you've already done.
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I think we will because a lot of the people that have cancer, they can't go in for treatment right now. A lot of the hospitals are saying, no, you can't come in because we've got all these people with the virus here and it's too dangerous. And they're right. You know, and I have a client who passed away 2 weeks ago. He'd went in with a blood clot. He was in there for 2 weeks and he was getting pretty well, his wife tells me. And, he got the virus there in the hospital, and he was dead in 5 days.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he died in 5 days. He's been with me 15 years.
Oh, wow.
15 years. And he and his wife, after they retired, they visited 42 countries. They've been to every state in the union, and they have three married daughters. They took all their family on all these trips, a fantastic family.
Wow, neat.
Yeah, and every year at Christmas, she sends me their itinerary for the year. What all they've done for the whole year. I mean, it's pretty neat. They're neat people.
Cool.
But they've been with me 15 years. They're from Missouri City.
Really?
Down by Houston.
Wow.
So... anyway, I've had two different clients pass away this month.
Mm, I'm so sorry to hear that. I know, yeah. You know, when the thing with what you're doing and what, you know, like big banks and big other institutions do, you have personal relationships with the people that that invest. And so you know them as people. They're not just a number. And so that makes things like that a little harder than for most people.
That's exactly right. And when we have clients pass away, we go back, we look at our relationship with them, how long we've known them, you know, the things we've said to each other, the deals we've done. And, you know, you look back at it, you know, the whole deal. And, you know, this last year in 19, we lost three clients and two of them to cancer. And it's always shocking when you've known these people, they've invested with you, they call you on the phone, talk to you about the investments, you know about their children. In fact, one of the gentlemen that passed away in 19, he had set up trust for all of his children, and he invested for them as well as himself. And so most of ours is family deals. You know, the father and mother come to us, and sometimes the grandparents, and then they put their children in the investments with them. I have a lot of people whose children are in their investments with them, and it makes it really nice. And it's all family businesses and families that invest with us.
Trying to find a positive side from such a tragic situation. When those kinds of things happen, when like a spouse maybe passes away, how difficult is it or easy is it for the investment to keep going? Because we all have life insurance policies, or most do anyway, because we're trying to take care of our family. So when somebody's invested for, you know, years, like in these situations, and something happens, how easy is it for the investment to keep going with the spouse so that they don't lose that financial security? Is that an easy transition?
It's very easy. If they have an IRA, let's say the gentleman had an IRA, then it becomes an inherited IRA for his wife. So that's easy. We just transfer it over. If they had a joint account, then she just keeps taking care of the account. If they have other investments, let's say they have annuities, it works the same way. With an annuity, we just transition it to the wife, and they go right on. They get their income just like they were before. And so with either investment, it'll work the same way. And then it depends who is beneficiary. Now, sometimes the beneficiary is different on some accounts than it is others. But everybody has to have a beneficiary with us. We have to know who's going to get it. You can't just leave that blank. We don't do that. Everybody has their beneficiaries. And then we encourage everybody, you know, to lay it out exactly like you want it. Because we have some people that say, no, the children aren't getting anything till they're 30 or till they're 40 years old, because we know they'll spend it all in a year. And, you know, they say that most beneficiaries in 14 months have blown all the money.
Really? 14 months?
Yes. 14 months.
Whoa.
So if you don't do it right, you know, the money that you gave them will be gone. They're going to buy cars, fast cars. They're going to buy big homes, and they're going to spend it. They're going to Vegas or somewhere else if they're young. Mm. So a lot of people are thinking about their younger children or their grandchildren and what they'll do with the money. And so they invest the money with us, and they have stipulations lots of times on what they can do with it. So that's just part of estate planning that everybody should have done, and everybody should be planning their retirement the same way. They should say, okay, you know, the way I've laid it out, how much do I have now, how much am I going to have at retirement, and how much will I have the next 20 years? You have to think about that. You can't just put it off. People do put it off, and as I said, they'll talk to me, and I may not see them for a year or 2 years. And then they'll say, I had a gentleman come in this last week, and I did it all over the phone, which we don't usually ever do that. I did it all over the phone for him, and, you know, he'd known us a long time. He finally got around to coming in, and he brought his boys with him. I mean, this is the way it works. It's a family deal.
Wow.
And, you know, he put money with me. Then he told his sons, now, you know, y'all need to put your money with Faye. It's easy. This is the way it works.
How do you, is there a preferred way, or do you have any recommendations, or how would you approach the dynamic where somebody comes to you and says, you know, Faye, I'm in my 40s or my 50s, whatever the case is. I want to get started. I want to, you know, get this thing going. And I also want to make sure that if something was to happen, that there would be more investments and there would be, you know, more opportunities coming up. It doesn't just, you know, go away if the main investor goes away. So how would you set something like that up so that, you know, if something does happen to a spouse, that the other remaining spouse can still invest? Is there a different approach? Do they do a tag team thing, or what would happen?
Well, the way we've done it on the two people that passed away this last year, you know, I told the wives, this is not going to change anything. Now, here's the way we'll do it. I will send you the emails and tell you, this is a policy that I'd like for you to go in, and then you read the life expectancy and call me, and let me go over it with you. And some of them want me to just handle it now because they don't have the experience yet to handle the account. And we'll do that. We'll just, you know, put them in things that we think right now are the right ones and that will work best for them. And they already have a good portfolio. Both these have a nice portfolio with us. And they've had a lot of maturities over the years. So financially, they're in good shape. You know, we've made sure of that. And both these families, as I said, the men had been with us about 4 or 5 years. Hmm. And both of them were unexpected.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, you know, you have to plan for everything. You have to plan if you're going to be here. If you're not, you got to plan for your wife and your family.
If something does happen, if somebody's not set up, you know, for with both people on it, is it easy for like the other spouse to kind of take over and just kind of like without missing a beat, just kind of, you know, jump in and they don't miss a beat? Is that
they shouldn't? If everything's set up with us, they won't.
Okay, all right.
Because it's either IRAs, which will become an inherited IRA to her, or they may have like one of the people had the trust set up for the children. And so they had his trust for his children that will keep going. Then he had an IRA, and then he had a joint account with his wife.
Mm, okay.
So those will go right on.
If a married couple came to you like on Monday and said, you know, Faye, we're really interested in this. We heard you on Saturday. We really want to get started with this. Do you recommend both people kind of get engaged with it from the start? Or is it okay for just kind of one to take the lead and then, you know, the other one just say, you know, I'll just follow?
Well, the way they usually do, the man usually comes in first and or he calls me on the phone. We talk to him. And then he brings his wife in, and then we go over everything with her where she'll understand what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And then sometimes they make the decision together, and sometimes the man says to his wife, well, this is what I'm going to do for us. And so, you know, it's their money, and they kind of make that decision as to how he wants to do it. And lots of times he'll say, this is what I would like to do. And she may say, well, I have an IRA, and this is what I'd like to do.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're both involved.
They're both involved, and they should be. It's their money, and they should know, you know, what they've done with it. We don't want it to be a surprise.
How has it changed, or has it changed at all, you know, people's attitude when they come in, or even people who have been with you for years? Are they starting to look at things different, like saying, you know, gosh, you know, things are a little bit different now when we started this, or, you know, with past opportunities, you know, with other investments like Wall Street or whatever the case is? Do people have a different approach now, like, hey, this is more serious, you know, we really need to make sure that everybody is on board instead of, I'm just going to do this in my own little silo? Is there a different approach over the last several months as far as making
sure
other people
are taking
care?
Well, I think everybody realizes they should be invested wisely now. I think just throwing it on the wall at Wall Street, I think people are going to quit doing that. I don't think they're going to just say, okay, I'm going to let the broker take care of it. He's going to make all the money for me. We know now that doesn't always work that way. You need to be involved. Even if you've got a broker, you need to see what stocks he's putting in, how the investment's going. Look at those statements. People don't look at them. They just throw them in the drawer every month. Mm. And then they get worried, you know, all of a sudden and say, oh, my gosh, what do I have? You know, has he put me in these stocks that are losing money? Has he put me in these that are in bankruptcy? You know, how safe is my portfolio? If you're with us, it's not going down. You're not going to have something that that's going to lose money. You know, it may take longer to get your money sometimes. We may have a case that goes over. It may run over. But remember, if it's in an IRA, you weren't going to take it out anyway. So if it goes over, it won't hurt you. Usually the premiums are pretty low. We've only got a couple that the premiums are high. That's those old, old ones we bought years ago. So most of the time, you've got policies coming due, you know, all the time.
Okay.
So it's a good, safe investment, I think. It's very conservative. It's not going to make you rich overnight. But over a period of years, it'll make you, it'll double your money.
How many years?
Usually 7 to 8 years that you'll double your money.
Not bad. That's a pretty good, that's a pretty good return right there.
And you're doing it safely.
Yeah.
You know every time you do a policy what you're going to make. You know how much interest you're going to get back. You know what your principal is you're going to get back. And when you're in Wall Street, you don't know if you're going to get your principal and your interest back.
Or any of it.
It's always a gamble. So it's how much do you want to gamble with your retirement? Do you want to gamble all of it or part of it? Or do you want it all conservative at a certain age? Now, most of the people that come to me say, I've played the market long enough. You know, we're fixing to retire. We need to get this fixed. As we retire, we want it to be a lot safer than we did when we were younger.
Yeah, I don't know of too many people that are prepared to take several hundred thousand dollars and just go out into the front yard and set it on fire.
Well,
that's what a lot of them feel like.
And, you know, we're recommended by people every week. The people in California that just set up an account with us, they have friends that they work with here in Midland, and they recommended us and said, you know, this is what we've made with Fay. We're happy with the investment. And we have people every week that tell someone else about us.
That's cool.
And tell them, you know, how much money they've made. And so, it's a very workable deal. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be doing it. I got out of the stock market in 2008. I've never bought another stock. I own not one stock. And I'm perfectly happy with my investments.
That is a big deal. That is a testament, to how the investment work and really how it's – is it fair to say it's changed your life, or am I going too dramatic?
Well, I think it's changed the way I think, you know, about investments completely. Hmm. You know, I now think conservative all the time and think, oh, my gosh, when I read about all these stocks that go down, I go – thank gosh I don't have any of those.
Yeah, you know, it seems gosh. Like every time we talk, you're saying more and more companies are filing bankruptcy.
I know, and there's a long list, and I haven't even listed the restaurant companies that are public that have went under. I haven't even mentioned those, and all the ones that have closed their doors. I haven't even went into restaurants. I've only done the one thing, the retail, that's in bankruptcy.
Oh, man. Wow.
I'll make you up a list next week of all the companies that are in bankruptcy.
Oh, Lord, that's going to take us entire hour.
That's right. I'll just keep listing this list for you because – the oil companies are not making money. Retail's not making any money. And if you had any of those stocks, and I bet in a lot of the portfolios, there's some oil companies that have lost a lot of money. And retail, they were hot for a while, and they're not hot. And I don't know what they're putting people in, but a lot of them, like Hertz. Hertz went to bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Hertz, of all people, would have went in bankruptcy?
Been around forever. Stable company.
A very big company. And their stock went up after they declared bankruptcy. This is hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they're in bankruptcy also. So you have to look at these portfolios and say, okay, take that one out. It's not any good, you know.
People will be dumping left and right.
I know, but they're not checking it. They're just relying on someone else. And remember, it's not that person's money. You know what I always tell people? It's your money with us. You always call the shots.
Yeah.
And if you're in the stock market, someone else is calling the shots. It's not you.
Nobody's deciding anything for you here.
That's right. Someone else is living your life. In other words, they're playing with your money.
Yeah.
And it's not costing them anything. If they lose, there's no penalty. Had you thought about that?
Mm-mm.
Your money, what's the penalty?
They got no dog in that hunt.
They have no dog in the hunt.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter. If you lose money, they still get paid because they get paid on every transaction. Mm. Every time they sell you a stock and every time they buy you a stock, they get paid.
Which means they're willing
to... They're getting paid on the transactions.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you win or lose.
Mm-mm. That's not a good position to be in.
And then Merrill Lynch up there, up north, you know, these people say they lost them $300 million.
Wow.
And they're all suing. From the governor on down. And they said they were churning the accounts, just churning and churning. And what churning is when they're just buying and selling, just for commissions.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it was. They want the money, so they're just buying and selling.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah. And I don't know what will happen to that, but $300 million is a serious deal.
Yeah, it is. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of people that affects. So...
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just looked up. Good conversation has forced us to run extremely late with trivia. So,
oh, my gosh, Will.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Quickly, what's your phone number?
What's that phone? 877-588. I don't know if I can even do this. Okay, 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Well, since we've run over so far, let's do fast trivia.
Okay, fast trivia.
Have you ever done fast trivia?
No, but this sounds like fun.
Okay, fast trivia here. Let's do a story that's so fast. David Atkins, he's the one that created the 67-foot Sam Houston statue in Huntsville.
Really?
Do you remember that statue along the freeway there?
Yes.
It's 67 feet tall. He is now donating 44 presidential busts that he sculptured.
Really?
They weigh 11,000 to 20,000 pounds. And he's giving them to the Hearts Veterans Museum of Texas. It's in Huntsville. And he's in the midst of a fundraising campaign right now. But this is the third set of presidential busts that he's done. He did a set in South Dakota and one in Virginia.
Wow.
And he said Abraham Lincoln is his favorite and the easiest to create because his features are so great. Gerald Ford is the hardest. And I would think that's true because old Gerald Ford was just kind of... You know, ordinary type man.
I was wondering how you're going to phrase that. I'm like, uh-oh, she's going down a hole.
There you go. But can you imagine that? He's making all these presidential statues. That's a neat thing to do. And they're going to be in Huntsville in a museum. And that's neat that this guy is doing this of all the presidents. When it's through, I want to go see those 44 presidential busts. And they're 18 to 20 foot tall.
That's amazing. That's huge.
And they weigh 11 to 20,000 pounds.
That is, is this museum going to be permanent or is it like a traveling type of?
No, it's supposed to be permanent.
Wow.
It's supposed to be permanent. And he wants to install a park and a display for them. And he's raising money for it. And I think it's a great deal.
Is this just a project he just initiated himself,
yes.
Or was this...
It is. He said he just decided to do it, and he's doing it.
Wow. That's not something...
Now, let me tell you how old he is.
Uh-huh.
He's 93.
No. Really?
Yes. Yes. Now, that just shows you what you can do if you really try.
Wow. Man, how long has he been working on these?
It doesn't say, but I would say he's been working on a long time.
I would have to think, because, man, that kind of volume, and we're talking, you know, about these things that are so huge, that's got to be like a little mini Mount Rushmore type thing.
It is, and just think, I have loved that one of Sam Houston. It is so great there on the freeway, and now he's doing these, 44 of them.
Wow.
And he's 93. Now, that just goes to show you, if you're 93 and you can do this, you've lived right. That's righteous living.
You've lived right.
Yeah, righteous living. We need some of that.
Does it say how many he's already got done? Or is
no, it doesn't tell.
Wow.
But I wanted it to be short because you said we need short trivia. We've already went over, so I was trying to do it fast.
Well, not that fast.
Oh, well, I wanted to do fast trivia.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where's this? When's this? Do they say when it's going to open?
It doesn't say when it's going to open. We're going to have to keep up with it and find out where we can tell everybody to go down there, because I want to go down there too, and see these beautiful statues. Because as much as I've enjoyed the other, I know they'll be that great. And I don't want him to die before he gets them finished. Let's hope he can get them all done. Because he's 93.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be fabulous, because the other one's so fabulous. This guy's got to be a genius at carving.
You would think. I mean, because that's hard to do to begin with, just carving. But then when you're talking about things that are so big, I mean, if you make a mistake, that's really hard to cover up and fix. So they got to be very precise.
And I have a picture of the gentleman, and he is in the ear of one of the presidents doing the ear.
Really?
As big as that statue is, he's in the ear working on it.
He's inside the actual ear.
No, he's got his hands and leaning in the ear.
Wow.
The ear is that big. He's leaning into it.
That's fascinating. What's his name? I got to Google this.
A-D-I-C-K-E-S, David Atkins.
Huh. All right.
Yes. Google this. And you can get more information at theheartsmuseum.com.
What is it? The heart? What?
Hearts.
Museum.
H-E-A-R-T-S. Museum.com.
Heartsmuseum.com. Okay. I'm going to. I got to see this. This is fascinating to me. I hope he's almost done, or at least he's got several under his belt, you know.
And it may show him, if you go to heartsmuseum.com, it may show the works being working, him working on them.
And this is just a hobby.
I wonder if it is. But he's 93. He's got to be a dadgum genius. You know?
You're probably right. He's got to be a genius.
Yes. I mean, especially doing a Gerald Ford.
Yeah. Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a fascinating man. And in 93, we know how good a job he did on Sam Houston.
Oh, yeah.
I think this will be right down the same league. So I'm anxious to see him.
Yeah, this is one of those stories I think we're going to have to probably follow and of track it, see how it goes. Interesting. How cool. Neat.
20 foot tall, folks.
Can't even imagine that. That's taller. That's like a little over three times as tall as an average person.
That's right.
I think. Let me go back and do math.
Try your math. Check that math.
Yeah, I should have got out a calculator long ago. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
See, we got plenty of time left. Look at that.
Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to get that done fast when you said, we are already over on that. I go, man, we've got to speed this up.
I know.
And I didn't do the story I was going to do this morning.
Wait. So you just changed on the fly like that? You had something ready to go?
I did. I just changed immediately.
Well, look at you go. Look at you zigging and zagging. Wow. Now we got all kinds of spare time. All right, well,
I had worked hard on another story, but it would have taken some time.
And I've ruined it. Look at that.
No, you didn't ruin it. It's fine. I'm just thankful I had that available.
Well, save it for next time, because I'd love to. I don't even know what it is, but I would love to you know, since you put all the work into it, I'd love to not, pass that one up.
Yeah, we'll get it next time.
Okay. So let's get into the risks real quick, because, you know, we're talking about how conservative a life settlement is and how people are looking for other types of investments. And there is no other investment that we can think of where people know what they're going to make. They know approximately when they're going to make it, and they just keep doing this over and over. But there are three major risks involved. And the biggest one is if the policy goes over.
That is your biggest risk, because it may go over 2 years, a year, I don't know how long. And so you have to be able to stand for that. If you can't stand the risk of it going over a year or 2 years, you shouldn't even do it, because they can go over. Some of them do go over, and it could cost you. If it goes 12 months over, there's no cost, because when we escrow an extra 12 months. So, but if it goes over that year, you're going to have to help pay premiums. So the premiums could run $500. They could run $1,000, different amounts. But that's your biggest risk. The second risk is it's not liquid during that time. And most people know that it is not liquid during that time. So you have to be prepared to know that you put your money in this so you don't get your money back until it matures and we write you the check. Mm-hmm. And so that's the second risk. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we haven't ever had one in Texas go under. And in the last few years, none have gone under major nationally, because the premium is so high that people would buy it instantly. And we've only had one that even came close several years ago, I think 3 years ago, and it was bought up overnight. So those are really your risk, and they're not great risk.
I'm sure there are people who are saying, you know, Faye, I thought I was fine. I had a pretty good plan. Everything has changed. And so now I'm looking for other things. So as far as like something like this, I'd essentially be starting over if I come to you. But I'm in my 40s, or if I'm in my 50s. Golly, is that too late to start over with this type of investment?
No, absolutely not. And I say middle age. This is a perfect investment, I think, for a mature adult. Okay. I think it is, because it doesn't matter if you're 40 or if you're 50, 70. Now, if you're 80, I would say it's too late.
Yeah, that might
be. You know, you should have everything done by then, and you know. But if you're, you know, I have two or three clients. They're in their 80s, but they also have their children investing with them. So I don't worry about it, because the children help them make their decisions. In fact, I have a gentleman, his wife came to me, and the mother came with them. And so they invest with her. And so I don't worry about them that way. But everybody else, you know, is in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s. And that's a good time, because you've got plenty of time. Remember, whatever you've got today is not what you're going to need tomorrow and 20 years from now.
Yeah, that's true.
So you've got to plan a long way out. You've got to think 10 to 20 years. If you're not going to live but 5 years, you don't have to worry about it. But if you plan to live 20 years at least, you have to think about a 20-year plan. And so what is your 20-year plan? You know, how much money are you going to need, and how do you plan to get it? That's the other thing. How are you going to get your interest? Are you getting interest on everything you're doing? If you're in the stock market, you know, some of them are not even paying dividends right now. So how are you going to get the interest to increase the value? And with us, you're going to get interest on all these things. It's 1% a month is what we pay. If it's 24 months, you're going to get 24%. If it's 18 months, you're going to get 18%. So always think about that. Depending on how long the policy is, you get 1% a month. And I don't think anybody pays that good.
Yeah, I really don't. You know, I guess a lot of this comes down to, you know, the core of the matter is how much of a gamble do people want to take? You know, I mean, people see, you know, the stock market. We see where that goes. Some people, you know, you might as well go to Vegas and put it all on a blackjack table and see what happens. Or people can take a more calculated approach with life settlement. So what about appointments for this coming week or the following week? How far out are you booked?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing Zoom, and it's working good. You can do a phone appointment with me. You can do a Zoom appointment with me, or you can come into the office, and they can call me, and we can get you on the phone.
Okay.
So, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it during this virus deal.
They just need to call and get started. So, what is your phone number for people to call and make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.